Hey, Glenridge family, you know, this has been a season where God's been highlighting feasting, and we've been seeing the banquet of God and just seeing the lavishness and the being at the table of God, understanding that we're invited to his feast, we're invited to his banquet. And, you know, why does God seem to highlight feasting? You know, it became such a norm for his people to have certain feasts at certain times of the year. It was something that was so entrenched and still is today, entrenched in the traditions of the church and of tradition. And we see that God is a feasting God. God is a celebratory God. He is a God that is lavish. And I often, you know, understand that feasting and celebrating is most appreciated in those times where either we've been fasting or there's been a famine or perhaps just being in the desert. And we see these contrasts all the time. We see, you know, the Israelites in the desert being provided for, you know, the manna from heaven, bread from heaven. We see, and I was reminded recently of the feeding of the 5,000. And, you know, if we look into that scripture, there's some lovely insights around this idea of the bread and being sustained by God. And so in John chapter 6, Jesus actually feeds the 5,000. And we know that story well, just this incredible miracle. The crowds were actually there, these 5,000, because they had seen the signs that Jesus had done on the sick. And so he was really kind of gaining in popularity, and these people came to him. And so he then, it was around Passover time, and, you know, he kind of talks about where they're going to buy bread, and he's just testing them, the disciples, because he knew what he was going to do. Anyway, after he had that massive miracle of, you know, feeding the 5,000 with just some five loaves and two fish, he basically withdrew. He went and walked on water and joined his disciples in a boat and went across to the other side. And the following day, some crowds went and found him, and they went and spoke to him. And so in John chapter 6, from verse 28, he has this lovely discussion about this idea of signs and being filled by food. And in verse 28, it says, "Then they said to him, 'What must we do to be doing the works of God?' And Jesus answered them," and this is very interesting. He said, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him who he has sent." So they said to him, "Then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? Our fathers ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, 'He gave them bread from heaven to eat.'" Jesus then said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Verse 35, Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst." And the reality about the feasting being close to God's heart is because he ultimately wants us to understand and see that our fulfillment, our filling, our being satisfied is found in him. And the feasts and the banquets that he has for us is an invitation to he himself. It's an invitation to Jesus himself. He is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of life. And of course, it is the very body that was broken, that was, and the blood that was shed, that we feast on in terms of eternal life. And so let's remember that whether we're in a place of fasting or famine, maybe we're in a wilderness, there is the miraculous provision of God. And that miraculous provision, while so simple in terms of food, really the food that we have is Him who enables us to be filled forever and it enables us to never thirst again. And so my prayer for you is that as you go, you continue to feast, that you continue to be connected to the lavishness of the banquet of Jesus in the miraculous ways that He impacts our lives, the miraculous signs, the miraculous that He does with healing the sick. And all of those things don't compare to this idea of the work of God. And doing the works of God is to believe in the one whom He has sent. God bless you.